Who wants a bunk bed, Bill? There's never been a better time to sign up for a yearly EPP, Extra Podcast Person membership to Real Ghost Stories Online. Right now, when you become a yearly EPP, you'll get 1 month free membership to our EPP programs. You'll also be able to claim your very own Bunk Bed Bell. Plus, you'll be doing your part to help keep our show on the air.
It's amazing. It's all amazing. We feel so much better.
A show that helps thousands of people worldwide.
Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so non-threatening.
Feel not so alone with their haunting experiences.
You guys are amazing. We listen to you all the time.
Become a yearly EPP now. Get a free month of our EPP membership and get your very own Bunk Bed Bell.
Hurry though, supplies are limited.
If you're currently a monthly EPP, then upgrade your membership now to a yearly membership and get your Bunk Bed Bell and a free month of EPP membership to Real Ghost Stories Online.
I think it's important for people to be able to have a place where they can share their experiences and validate them because these things are real.
Sign up now to be a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number is 855-853-4802. Of course, you can write it on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file to us, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Lots of ways to get your stories to us here at the program. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm excited. How are you?
Why are you excited?
Because so far the wall's going well that we're building.
We built a wall.
Well, we framed it in. We haven't sheetrocked
yes,
yet.
That's the next step. And then we're going to have a nice little area for a pretty cool segment on your show.
Yeah.
To show how to... how would you describe what we're kind of creating for that episode, if you will? And it'll probably actually encompass a couple episodes because there's a lot going on in that area.
Levels, Jerry.
Levels, Jerry, levels.
No.
Tube City?
No. Now, sometimes, you know, right now all the rage is to knock walls down to make an open concept.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can have too open of a concept.
Yeah.
Our entire basement was one room, the whole size of the entire house.
It's kind of like roller rink.
Yeah. So we're adding walls where there should have been walls.
Yeah.
And making rooms more functional.
Yeah. And really kind of creating a real nice, fun, cozy living space that you don't have to spend a ton of money to make.
And so far, nothing has gotten mad at us for
putting up walls in the house that no one had lived in forever. You know that
yeah.
It's like, well, could you haunt a house if you really liked the house but you never lived there? You know how people like sometimes have those homes like, oh, I love this house. It was in my hometown, and I always wish I could have lived there, but you never do. When you get the opportunity to die and be a ghost, or if you get the choice to be a ghost, uh-huh, and you can go haunt some place, could you then take up residence at the house you always wanted to live in? That could be an explanation for a lot of ghost stories where it's like, this doesn't make sense for who's here. This type of person never lived here.
I guess if you can have a passing through ghost, you can have somebody that decides to just pick your house to haunt.
It's like, screw it, I didn't get to live here in the living time. I'm going to live here in the dying time,
uh-huh,
or the death time.
Okay.
So I could see that. My other idea for the basement was to make a giant maze. Now that we've learned how to make walls.
You spent too much time on that thought last night. I was starting to get a little worried.
Well, it's such a big open space. And now that I know how to make a wall, I was thinking, well, this would be really fun. You walk in and look, literally, it would be one hell of a hallway.
It's kind of like
just
after
back and forth.
You learned how to tile. Then you started asking me what else you could tile.
Sure.
But now you just want to build walls for no reason.
Just build walls for no reason. And I thought if you did the maze thing, you could like have a different... It would be very much like House on the Rock, which if you've never been there, is kind of like a horror movie or a nightmare come to life. And this hallway could just like be just these giant long halls that go back and forth, like 10 of them in a row. And that would fill up that whole space. And at the end of each hall, you have like an old, you know, and my reference was the House on the Rock figurines that move. Mm-hmm. They're kind of animatronic. Picture like the Disney animatronics, but if they were like really kind of decrepit and falling apart.
Okay.
That's kind of what I was, and at the end, like somebody playing the drums. You know,
you want to spend just, that much effort on something that creepy, you go right ahead. But
I can do it. I can do it out there.
You're going to get bored real fast.
And then at the end of the maze of halls,
yeah,
it's just a tiny little room with just a stool.
Because you're not going to have any help on those walls.
They were like, oh, I got to tear all this down now.
Yeah.
I just think it would be such a crazy thing to build. I wouldn't want to waste our space doing that, but that would be, you know, there's homes. There's I can't think of what the name of the house is, but there's that one house that where they just kept building onto it over and over and have stairwells that go to nowhere. And it's a museum now. Mm-hmm. And I forgot what the whole story is on it, but it's kind of in line with that. If I ever just completely lose my mind.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah, because sane people do that shit.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Jennifer, and I am from New South Wales in Australia. I've been a listener of the show for quite some time. I had a period where I was not listening to the podcasts because I wasn't traveling as far for work, but I've got back on it and I've been listening to all the older episodes. I wanted to share one of my stories from when I was a child. Just a bit of background. My mother and my grandmother both have always had paranormal experiences and quite a sensitive nature to paranormal activity, and my brother and I, I guess, inherited that. One ghost story that sticks with me particularly was when I was around about 10 years old, and one night, just to give you a bit of an idea, my bedroom door faced my parents' bedroom door. And my bedroom was also next to the kitchen. And then our lounge room was through the kitchen past that. So one night my parents had a little bit of an argument and my dad had been drinking a bit too much. And when they went to bed, my mum asked him to sleep on the lounge in the kitchen, which is next to, on the lounge in the lounge room next to the kitchen. So this was around about 11 o'clock at night. Everyone's gone to sleep and the house is all quiet. Around about 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning, I got up to get a drink of water. So I walked out of my bedroom, I turned right, and then I turned right down the hallway into the kitchen. Now, our kitchen was pretty big and it had a massive skylight, so the light from the moon was actually lighting the kitchen, so I didn't really have to turn any lights on. I opened the fridge, grabbed a bottle of water, had a bit of a drink, and I could hear some noise behind me. And I turned around, and the light of the fridge and the light from the moonlight kind of lit up my dad. And my dad was in the lounge room, and he was leaning over the bar looking for something. Well, what I thought was my dad, anyway. I called out to my dad. I said, "Dad, you know, what are you looking for?" And he just kept rummaging, and he was kind of standing on his tippy toes, and he kept rummaging through what he was looking for, and it's like he didn't hear me. And I was like, "Dad, like, what are you looking for?" And I thought, oh, he might still be a little bit drunk, so I'll just leave him. So then I put the bottle of water back into the fridge, closed the fridge door, and I walked back to my bedroom. As I went to open my bedroom door, I could hear snoring in the room across from mine, which is my parents' room. And I thought, that's really strange. The only person who snores is my dad, and he's in the lounge room because I saw him a second ago. And there's no way my dad could have got past me. You know, like, there was only one hall back to our bedrooms. So then I just quietly opened my parents' bedroom door, and my dad was asleep in bed with my mum. I instantly got goosebumps and I threw my back to the wall and kind of slid my way back into my room. It took me a long time to get back to sleep, but the next morning when I woke up, I told my mum about it, and she thought it was really funny and said, "It's probably your Papa Martin." Now, I never met my Papa Martin. That's my dad's father. He died when my dad was about 16 years old from a heart attack, and my dad actually didn't see him the morning he passed away, because he was staying with his grandmother at the time because he was working in the city. And where we live is near the Blue Mountains, so we're very far from the city. And where my dad grew up was pretty far from the city as well. So I like to believe that that's my grandfather, even though I never met him, but the way that I explained his silhouette and also his height, my dad's not a very tall man, but the man leaning over the bar was quite tall. But I like to think that was my grandfather, and from confirmation from my mother, it probably was. She never met him either, but from photos that she showed me, it looked pretty similar. I also told my dad the story, and my dad is extremely skeptic. He doesn't believe in anything paranormal, no psychics, no Loch Ness monster, no nothing. Unless he sees it, he believes it. But when I told him that story, he was pretty speechless. He didn't really know how to deny it, and he just nodded and sounds like dad was trying to get a beer or something like that. So that's my story. Thanks for having this forum for us. You know, not a lot of people are very accepting of the paranormal world, but it's good to know that we have people like that. Thanks, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
A snoring ghost would be terrible because you can't poke it until it's asleep on its side or something to get it to stop. It's just going to keep snoring.
Doesn't necessarily work with humans either.
Sometimes it does.
Not usually.
Most of the time it does.
Hardly ever.
Enough till I can fall asleep.
Oh, you're talking about me.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm talking about you.
Sorry.
So poking and prodding works for me?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But I don't know what you would do if you had a ghost that was snoring. Would you try and make noise to wake it up, or will it not wake up because it's sleeping like the dead?
Shake the bed. You try and push it on its side. Try and push it over.
I don't know.
Try and jump a little bit, make noises like, and then.
I never do that shit.
No, I do that shit. You're missing this point.
Okay.
And the kids are like, what was that noise that was coming from?
It's a banshee.
855-853-4802 is our phone number. Get Real Ghost Stories online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to this one. Hi.
Hi, Donnie and Danny. I'm Maria. I'm from Venezuela, but currently living in Europe. And I wanted to share a story with you. And sorry for my English, because I'm not, you know, it's not my native tongue, but I will try my best. Well, this happened, I think, 5 years ago, maybe. And it was in Venezuela, in my mom's house. I was visiting her for Christmas. This was after my dad's death. And we were there, you know, hanging together as a family. And because my dad's brother also had died, we wanted that particular Christmas to kind of like relate to my aunt and my cousins, even though that we are not really close at all. But we wanted to, you know, be polite and try to bring the family together or something. So my mom decided that we were going to go to her house to bring some presents for the kids. And, well, we did it. So we went there, and we were, it was just my mom, my sister, her husband, and their two kids, my niece and my nephew. My aunt had a gift for my niece. It was a little doll, and it was not a particularly weird doll. It was just like a very cheap one. It was inside an open box with a cardboard box, and it was, you know, very normal. A little doll without hair, and it was new, and well, it was just a regular doll. The thing is that when we got to our house, I went to my room after getting some dinner, and my mom went to her room, my sister and her husband and the two kids, they share one room at that house, and everyone was inside their own bedrooms, just, you know, ready to sleep. Well, everyone except me. At that moment, my mom was taking some pills to help her sleep because she wasn't resting very well after my dad died. So she needed something to go to bed easily. And my sister was, of course, sleeping profoundly because she had two kids and they were exhausting. So she was fast asleep as well. I was the only one awake in the house, and I was, you know, chatting online, talking with friends, and I wasn't sleepy at all. It was like 1:30 in the morning or so. So it wasn't that late, but of course it wasn't early at all. Everyone was asleep already. So I was chatting with these friends and I heard outside my bedroom some noise. I must say that outside my bedroom, next to it, when you open the bedroom door, you have the living room of the house. And then in front of the living room, you have the dining room and then the kitchen, that is an open kitchen. So everything is kind of like open together, just divided by a very, very low wall. And to the left of my bedroom, there is a hallway, a very short hallway. And it has my mom's room, and then at the end of the hallway, my sister's bedroom. The doors are very close together, so there wasn't much space at that apartment. It wasn't an apartment, it wasn't a house. So I was there, I was listening to some noise, and the first thing that I heard was a set of heavy footsteps that were coming down from the hallway to the kitchen. And they were easily men footsteps. It was so clear. It was very, very clear. So much that I thought that it was my brother-in-law, and I thought that he might have forgot something on the kitchen, or I don't know. But they were going from the hallway to the kitchen, from the kitchen to the hallway, and so on. Back and forth all the time. So I was getting annoyed because they were being so loud. After a while, I started to hear the kitchen, sounds in the kitchen. And it was like someone was doing the dishes. It was very, very clear. The noise was, unmistakable. Because I always listened to it when I was in my house and it wasn't my turn to do the dishes. So it was very clear, and that someone was doing the dishes, but you can still hear the footsteps. So I was like, okay, this is weird, because this means that there are at least two people in the house. The person with the footsteps and then one person that is in the kitchen. So I really doubt that both my sister and my brother-in-law have woken up to go there. But because I was hearing these noises, and I was kind of like preoccupied because that apartment has a history of break-ins, not inside the apartment, but upstairs in the roof. And I was so worried, but I was worried and not at the same time, because if a person is standing on the roof like a stranger or a robber, then you hear from my bedroom the footsteps, because the only way to access that rooftop is right above my bedroom. So I didn't hear any footsteps at that particular location. I just heard the footsteps inside the apartment, and I didn't hear the door on the rooftop open. So that was very weird. It must have been someone inside the house. So I kept listening to these noises, and it was very, very loud. So at one point I started hearing dragging noises, and my sister had for my niece a little playground, these ones that look like a crib. I don't know if you know which ones are those, but it was like a crib, and this playground has a particular noise as well when you drag it, because it's made of metal and plastic and well. So I started hearing that, and I talked to my friend, because I was speaking with a friend through Skype, and I put the microphone next to the door of my bedroom door, and I was like, okay, can you listen? Can you hear this? Are you listening to this? And she was like, yeah, I can hear it. I can totally hear it. What is that? Who's there? And I explained her that, okay, I don't know. What is this? Should I go out? And she was like, no, don't leave your apartment, because I don't know, don't leave your bedroom, because that's, no, who does that? In the movies, the person that goes out first is the one that gets killed. So I listened to her advice, and I just didn't go out. I started calling my sister and my mom, but nothing. They didn't answer the phone, they wouldn't reply, nothing. So I just kept listening to these noises. It was like, I don't know, 20 minutes at that moment of the noises outside. And every time they get closer to the door and they were heavier and the dragging sound was all over the place and the heavy footsteps. And it was, I mean, it was horrible. At one point, it was like they started to slow down. So I talked to my friend and I told her like, okay, no, I'm going to put the music on my headphones and I'm going to try to go to sleep because this is scary. So I'm not going to listen to this anymore. So I turned off the computer, I put the music on my phone and I started listening to music until I fell asleep. In the morning at 6 a.m., I was awoken by my sister. She was calling me and she was so angry and I didn't know why. And she told me when she woke up to please leave the bedroom and talk to her in the living room, that she wanted to talk to me in the living room. So I did that. I left my bedroom, I was checking out the apartment, and on the floor there were some marks, like the dragon marks, because the floor was made of granite, I think it's called, and it was recently polished, so the marks of the dragon were clear on the floor. And she told me that she was really angry because I was playing some pranks on her, and that she was almost fell at that morning when she got out of the room to prepare the bottle for my niece. And I told her that I haven't done anything, but what was the deal with her? What happened? And it turns out that the stroller, my niece's stroller, was parked in front of my sister's door, like completely blocking the door. And I didn't do that. My mom didn't do that, so we don't know what happened there. And then she told me that after that, she came inside to the bedroom. And she, of course, after that, she put the stroller where it was supposed to be. And when her husband went out of the bedroom a second time to take the bottle back and bring something else, I believe, for the other kid, for my nephew, the stroller was back on the same spot. And he was actually kind of like angry at my sister because he thought that she had moved it. And then my sister was like, no, and they both thought that it was me. But I mean, I wasn't even awake at the moment. So my sister was like, okay, this is weird, why did you do that? And I told her that it wasn't me. And I started telling her, okay, you noticed that I called you last night. The reason why I called you was because I was listening to some noises and heavy footsteps and dragging sounds and someone in the kitchen, and I thought it was you. Or maybe it was your husband. So who was it? So we called my mom, and my mom was like, okay, what happened? It's too early. And we told my mom, and my mom was like, no, I went to sleep at 10 and I just got up. And these noises were at 1:30 in the morning. So we were talking and my sister was like, okay, this is too weird, what happened? And there are dragging marks all over the floor. These dragging marks were in here yesterday. And we were really worried because, I mean, we were starting to look at everything and of course nothing was missing. All the doors were locked. My brother-in-law at that moment had an idea. He was like, okay, what is something that is new in the apartment? What could have caused this? Because we have never experienced something like that. And we are all a bit concerned with the paranormal in my house because it's, you know, Latin American tradition and everyone kind of like believes in something. So we were like, okay, this is too weird. Maybe it is something paranormal. So I don't know what could be. Then my mom thought about the doll. And because my aunt, she has kind of like a history of doing kind of like witchcrafty stuff to us. Some weird stuff too. She's like buying weird powder to put inside my dad's trunk. Or she was wrapping stuff and leaving it at the front of her house when she was younger. So she has always been really competitive with my mom. And her family has always been really like weird and kind of like, you know, I don't know, witchy, but not in a good way. So my mom was like, okay, it must have been something that your aunt did this time. I don't know what it was, but it has to do with her. So my brother-in-law thought, okay, yeah, you're right. And then my mom was like, what if it was the doll or something? I don't know. And my brother-in-law, he was like, okay, I'm going to get the doll and see. So he got the doll and he was like, okay, look at this. The doll, smell it. And I was like, okay, why do you mean smell it? The doll hasn't been taken out of the bag. It was in a present bag or something. I don't know how you call it. But it was inside there, and my sister and my niece didn't want to actually use it all the past day, so my sister just put it in the closet. When my brother-in-law took it out of the closet and took it out of the bag, we were able to smell the doll. And it had like this horrible, horrible smell. Like, imagine leaving a person without being able to brush its teeth, like for, I don't know, 2 weeks. And then that person puts drool all over a place and that drool gets dry. That's kind of like the smell was. I mean, it was horrible. It was a smell of saliva, but, you know, old and dirty saliva. I don't know how to explain it. It was horrible. And the thing is that the day before, the doll wasn't like that, because I was actually looking at the doll and nobody licked it. Nobody did anything to the doll. So it was really weird. And when my brother-in-law smelled it, he was like, okay, no, I'm going to get rid of this right away. And actually he went in his pajamas and everything, and he took the doll to the trash can outside of the building. And well, that day nothing else passed. I mean, everything was normal, everything was perfect. And that following night I also stayed up to check if someone was there, but nothing. It was completely calm. So I do believe that doll had to do something with that, and I do believe that my aunt was kind of like, I don't know, trying to do something again to us. It was really weird. But it was really nothing that I can explain, and we were always witnesses of that. Well, thanks for your show, thanks for your work. I'm a proud EPP, and I hope to listen to this story on the show sometimes. Bye.
You never see that candle in the store, dried saliva. That's not usually one of those that they have at the candle shop.
No. And just not a fan of dolls anymore. Just
anymore? Were you at one time a big fan of dolls?
Well, not a big fan, but I had my share of dolls when I was a little girl.
Uh-huh.
And some of which I was keeping to pass down to the girls. And I just like, I just don't like any of the dolls anymore.
And they started talking to you in the middle of the night.
No.
Pass me down.
But you know, honestly, with her story, I thought it was going to go back to maybe being the dad that had recently passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, trying to walk the baby's stroller is like some kind of message. But I kind of forgot about the doll for a little bit until they realized, oh, the doll somehow had gotten out and then put itself back.
That's just creepy.
It is.
The only thing it makes you grateful for in the story is not having family members that try and cast spells on each other. That's gosh, that would just be weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have an aunt that likes to give us all sorts of weird, like garage sale finds that nobody really wants.
That's nice.
But
jeez, Tony.
Well, it is. It's always one of those weird things where it's like, what am I going to do with this? It's always meant with love.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but this was much more like when I was a kid, more so than it is today. But it was always just kind of like, why would I need, a wicker chest that looks like a Ken doll head or something? What is this?
Okay.
You know, I'm looking at objects and then combining words.
Yeah.
But it'd be stuff that random.
Okay.
You know, where and she never gave a wicker Ken doll head, you know, basket, but just stuff where it's like, what? Okay. It's like, I found this for you at a garage. Okay. That's great. She did have an awesome attic though as a kid. I loved going up there because it was such filled with random stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like, it was like, you know, a weird Toy Story to a certain extent, but she never cast spells on anybody. So
that's
count
really
my blessings
good.
There.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your ghost stories and creepy experiences with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony. My name's Mike, calling you from Smoky, British Columbia. So this is a story actually that took place at my aunt's house back when I was, I don't know, 8 or 9. And she bought a house, and it was their dream house at the time. And they would, her husband and her would go off to work for the day, and they would come home and they would find their two small dogs in their bedroom with the door closed. And this is one of those houses with the really thick carpet, so the door couldn't just close. It had to have been pushed or pulled closed, and these were two very small dogs, so there's no way they could have done it on their own. So they didn't think a lot of that back then, until they started hearing things like footsteps and things like that. And one day, my aunt heard footsteps come down the stairs, and she thought it was her husband coming downstairs, and she was talking to him. And she looked out the kitchen window where she was doing dishes, and she saw that her husband was actually standing out in the yard doing yard work. So, again, it couldn't possibly have been him. Flash forward a time later, they were visiting the former homeowner who happened to be a doctor, and he was getting ready to pass on. And he asked them, did you open up the crawl space? And they didn't even know there was a crawl space. He told them where it was. It was underneath an area of the house that had since been carpeted over. So they didn't want to rip the carpet up and go into the crawl space. So they left it. They had a priest come in and he blessed the house. Shortly thereafter, everything stopped activity-wise. But, yeah, that was just an interesting story from my childhood. I have others. I'll definitely call back and let you know more later. But thanks for listening.
I would have to know what's in the crawl space if the former owner on his deathbed asked you if you went in the crawl space. I'd have to know.
Really?
I would have to know.
You can just be good with that?
No.
Be like, eh, no big deal.
Carpet can be put back down.
Yeah.
My mind is never going to rest if just I don't know what's in there.
Go down there.
There's bones or something. No,
you just find like a birthday cake topper or something. It's like, that's it. It's like, I love that birthday cake topper. I put it down there. It's like nothing to do with anything. You just destroyed your home to find out.
I would still have to know.
Then you'd find out.
I would.
Then you dig a little bit deeper, and then there's like a skull.
Oh, yeah.
What would you do at that point?
I would call the police, and they'd bring in a forensics team, and I'd let them find what they could find.
Would you stay in the house after that?
Well, it kind of depends, because sometimes if there's like what I would imagine... I just say this like I know. I would imagine that sometimes
Jenny CSI
a ghost could be put to rest by having the closure of that body being found.
Mm-hmm.
So
what if they liked being there, their body, and then it was disturbed? Couldn't that also stir little things up a little bit?
It could, but I think if I were a ghost and my body was underneath somebody's house in a crawl space, mm-hmm. I would be haunting until they found me.
You'd want that unsolved mystery solved.
Yeah. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, then I'd like them to call into that 800 number for unsolved mysteries, where it's like...
They don't have that anymore.
You know, when I watch it on Hulu, they still do like the... or it's not on Amazon is what it's on. They have the little like, and now an update on our last episode. And it does their little,
And it's from 25 years ago?
Yeah, and they still have the phone number up on the screen.
Have you called it to see what it goes to now?
No, I haven't. It'd be really kind of funny just to see what...
That would be fun.
I wonder what the... If I just Google...
Unsolved Mysteries phone number?
Unsolved Mysteries...
Hotline.
Let's see here.
It's going to be great.
Calling the Unsolved Mysteries tip hotline. Somebody put it up on YouTube. Mm-hmm. But I found the number.
Wouldn't you hate to have that number now? And you get people still calling because they watched it on whatever from 30 years ago and now they're calling.
You got to wonder what it is. I have to change a setting here so I can pull it up and... Audio settings. There.
Are you going to call it?
Yep. Okay. It's going to. Right, here we go. Let's see what happens when we call the unsolved
mystery. Service on this number has been suspended.
Oh.
Your call is now being disconnected.
I'm sorry. There's been a temporary problem processing your request.
There you go.
That sucks.
What if I had the answer to an unsolved mystery? You know, I wonder how many unsolved mysteries could have been solved if somebody would have taken up that number and helped solve the mystery.
I wonder if you took that number over, how many calls you'd get.
Oh, I bet you get shitloads these days just because the show is it runs and reruns, and now it's on online to watch, you know, in forever.
That would be a funny show if you took that number and recorded yourself, like, messing with these people when they call it.
Get a Robert Stack impersonator and then have it be one of those phone systems where it's like you literally have to speak to it. You can't just press buttons and it somewhat intelligently responds to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm Robert Stack.
Right.
What mystery have you solved? And then somebody says, tell me more. And it just keeps going on. Like, what else do you know? It's this endless just line of questions and it never stops.
That would be fun.
I can imagine you would have phone messages that if you recorded, they would go on for hours.
That would be fun.
Are you sure you don't know anything else? Do you think you might be involved? I mean, somehow you just kind of like make them think that they're involved in whatever the hell the crime is. It'd be horrible and wrong and hilarious.
And then at the end you say, this was an admission on your part. Or something like that.
The police will be at your door in 5 minutes. And yeah. It hangs up. And then it breaks into the... It just goes to the music.
What?
The on hold music is the Unsolved Mysteries theme music. Now, that would be awesome if more on hold systems used that as their
on hold music. Can't.
Yeah, you probably can't, but that'd be great. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. That wraps up today's episode of the program. Thank you for listening. If you're not an APP yet, please become one. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. That's what keeps this thing on the air. $5 a month is all we ask. Where you can sign up for a full year, get one of those months free, and claim a bunk bed bill while you're at it. So check that out at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.